And it reads, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together, everybody say they plotted. They plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And I'm preaching from this title today, The Powers That Be. God, you have blessed us with your presence. We feel encouraged.
Amen.
The words, the songs, everything that has happened today has served to lift me up. And I thank you for that, God.
Yes.
We pray that this word and this preaching of the word and this time that we have left together would continue that trend, and that something would shift inside of us. A sickness would pop loose and go away. A disease, a pain, a fear, a doubt, a lie of the devil that has been tormenting us, would just in just a moment, that you would speak by the Holy Spirit directly into the hearts and minds of your people today, and snap your fingers, speak your three or four words that you do, God, like you do, and change us and transform us in your presence that is here right now. If you want the Lord to transform you, change your situation, say amen.
Amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Praise God. Let's clap our hands and give Him a little bit of worship. I don't mind doing cartwheels and hanging from the chandeliers and screaming to the top of my lungs and setting off sticks of dynamite inside my spirit for you. But I believe that there comes a time and there is appropriate moments where that God wants to set the dynamite off inside of you and not the preacher. Or God wants to set the dynamite off inside of you and not the worship team or the worship leader. Or God wants you to experience His power for yourself and let Him have His way in your life and spirit. Today might be one of those days when God's wondering how much you really love Him. Do you really feel Him? Do you really want Him in your life? And if you will open up the door and let Him in, His power will explode out of you and bless this congregation.
Yes.
Amen. Maybe God wants to use you today to bless this congregation.
That's right.
There is a battle going on for the heart and soul of America. Political parties are trying to cancel each other. They're driving to church Thursday morning. I saw a guy standing in his front yard by a sign with his candidate of choice. This was during the Northside grade school rush hour. And he was standing there waving and pointing to everyone to his sign as everyone drove by. He even had a superhero standing up next to his sign. People are losing their minds.
Amen.
Ideologies are trying to cancel each other. Scientists are trying to cancel each other. Ethnic groups are trying to cancel each other. Gender groups are trying to cancel each other. Religious groups are trying to cancel each other. Neighbors, friends, and family members are trying to cancel each other. Everyone is trying to find the high ground, and it is a free-for-all out there. The fabric of our way of life is tearing under the weight of decades of decadence and moral decay. And the powers that be are using the changing tide of opinions and preferences to promote their self-serving agendas. And they are using our differences and our ignorance to turn us against each other. Have you ever been canceled by someone? How did that make you feel? Have you been treated with contempt because you believed or did not believe what other people thought that you should?
Mm-hmm.
There's a battle going on in the church. A battle for the heart and soul of the church as well. Evangelicals, in particular, white evangelicals are now considered outliers in the Christian landscape due to their political and religious conservatism. We went from deplorables in 2016 to outliers in 2020. The ruler of the largest Christian denomination has now officially endorsed same-sex marriages for the first time in its 1,700-year history. The floodgates are opening for an end time falling away. The church has been trying to keep sin under its control, allowing it to run through a carefully constructed canal. But it is overflowing its banks and flooding everything in its path. We've been pitching our tents towards Sodom for too long, and now it may be too late to save the church and our nation from imploding. What is happening now is a lot like what happened and what was happening in Israel when Jesus walked among them. Religious leaders were vying for their favorite teacher's interpretation of the law. Political leaders were jockeying for position with the Roman occupiers. And then, just like today, the average citizens were caught in the middle. Then Jesus came on the scene. He came with anointed preaching. He came with healing and miracles. He came with power and authority from heaven. He came with a divine plan and a God-ordained purpose. And His plan and His purpose clashed big time with the powers that be. While the average citizen rejoiced at the miracle signs and wonders Jesus was performing, the powers that be only felt anger and jealousy. They hated that Jesus was so popular with the people. They hated all His miracles. They hated His teaching. And most of all, they hated the way Jesus flouted the rituals, rules, and regulations of their teachers. It reminds me of what Jesus said to His followers. They hated me, and they will hate you. This is not about mask mandates. I wear my mask on the school bus. I wear my mask at Walmart. I wear my mask when it's appropriate. But there's more going on behind the scenes than that. There is a hatred for the people of God. There is a hatred for the traditional values promoted in the Judeo-Christian worldview. There is a hatred for the family structure that God created Adam and Eve to multiply. He told them, multiply, fill the earth. Just like in Jesus' day, same thing's going on today. They said, okay, if you're going to heal someone, fine, but do not do it on the Sabbath. Okay, fine, if you're going to share a meal, fine, but do not share it with sinners. And for Pete's sake, please wash your hands better than you are. Why was there this clash between Jesus and the powers that be? We're not the powers that be allowed. And you think to yourself, what was going on here? Didn't God put them in power? It's God that raises up kings and tears down kings.
Right.
It was God that allowed Ronald Reagan to be president.
Right.
It was God that allowed the Bushes, the Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump. It was God that put them in power. Just because the powers that be are authorized by God, or at the very least allowed by Him, does not mean that they are faithfully discharging their duties.
Amen.
It's one thing to have power, and it's another thing to use it properly. And instead of cooperating with Jesus in His mission to save the world from sin, they started plotting how they could get rid of Him. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Have you ever been in a situation where people were plotting against you? trying to stop you from doing what God told you to do, trying to sabotage your ministry, lying about you behind your back. If you have, then you are in good company today. Same thing happened to Jesus in a big way. But I have some good news for you. Even though the powers that be are plotting your demise, God is planning your victory.
Right. Right. Amen.
Even though the powers that be are plotting your demise, God is planning your victory. There will always be a trap. There will always be a snare or a scheme or a plot to destroy you. But with every trial and every persecution, God has a plan to get things worked out for your good. The rulers and the powers that be were plotting, but God was planning. Now, Matthew chapter 26 is a large chapter. I believe there are 75 verses, and I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to get all that preached and all the messages that are going to come out of it. But this is as far as I felt led to go today. And at first I didn't know how important this message was going to be. And I went back and watched some old messages from Matthew. And there's a message that Jesus is driving home as he drives closer and closer to the cross of Calvary. And that message is, church, amen, that the devil is plotting and the powers that be are plotting against you. They are scheming to destroy you, but God has a plan for your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus told his disciples with a certainty that he would be crucified on the Passover. And he says two important things with that. Number one, they're going to kill me on the Passover. Number two, it's a crucifixion. And a crucifixion was never done in secret. They were performed in such a way as to draw a crowd and to set an example so that others would fear to commit similar crimes. There was the plot to do it secretly. There was a plot to do it after the Passover. But God had a plan to do it on the Passover so that everybody would know what happened. Jesus was not ignorant of their devices. He knew their schemes. And he knew that they were hoping to do this when nobody was looking. And it may not sound like to you today that there's much difference between the two. And when you're in the middle of life's tribulations, it may not feel like there's any difference in outcome. It may not feel like, because you've got to go through the trial one way or another, because you've got to go through the trial, and if you do, you're going to be damned. And if you don't, you're going to be judged. And no matter which way you turn, the same troubles are going to fall over your path. And the same trials and crosses are there for you to bear. But listen to this preacher today. There is a difference between the schemes and the plotting of the devil and the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
You may not think, what's the big deal, whether in secret or publicly, whether on the Passover or after the Passover, Jesus was still going to be killed. But let me tell you something. It may be your lot in life to be persecuted. It may be your lot in life to die for the cause of Jesus. But how you die is everything in the plan of God. Because how you die will determine how your death impacts the world and how it impacts the kingdom of God. How you die will determine how many souls are saved through your sacrifice. How you die, how you go through your tribulation will determine how the faith of the church is stirred in what happens to you.
Amen.
Amen. The last thing the rulers wanted was for Jesus to become a martyr. They also feared his prophecies about being resurrected on the third day. A secret death would make a resurrection much harder to prove and much more unlikely. But a public death Well, they left no doubt as to the outcome. With thousands of witnesses, would make Christ's resurrection an undeniable, unexplainable, and unfathomable reality. Have you ever struggled to get things done for God but could not put your finger on what was wrong? The devil motivates people to jealousy and hatred, and they're always plotting and scheming on ways to throw you off track. The devil's plan is to keep you discouraged, to keep you sick, to keep you disobedient. He wants you dead. He wants you to fail. He wants you to be sent to hell, because misery loves company. But God has a plan to take you through the cross and lead you to and into His joy. Amen. Church tests are inevitable. Taking up our crosses are inevitable. But God treacherous path we are called to take for the sake of the kingdom are not by accident. They are carefully laid out and planned by God. If the devil had his way, you would fall into one of his traps. If the devil has his way, the trial will destroy you. But if we will ignore the devil's plotting, if we will refuse to pander to the devil's taunts, amen. Nehemiah, the Bible says, was tempted many times by men who wanted to destroy him and stop him from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They wanted to stop him from doing that. They hired people to lie against him. They hired false prophets, amen, to try to trick him. They did their best to use false reasoning and otherwise to try to scare the believers out of him. The devil will try to scare you half to death, amen, to get you off the track that God has put you on. But Nehemiah refused to listen to their lies and their schemes. He refused to deviate from the plan God had laid out for him. And some 50 days later, the walls of Jerusalem stood strong, rebuilt for the first time in how many decades? And the gates were hung and the doors were closed. And God used him because he refused to let the plotting of the enemy deter him from the plan of God. Yeah. You hear me, church? There are some of you, God has called you to things, and the devil's throwing everything but the kitchen sink at you to keep you off track and to distract you. But I'm telling you, get back on the plan. Amen. Get back and get yourself focused back on the goal. Amen. Pursue. Paul said, I forget what is behind me, and I press toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To carry the cross of Jesus across the finish line. Amen. You better get back on that plan. Get back on that track. Amen. There may be obstacles along the way, but they cannot stop what God has planned for your life if you'll just keep pursuing and refuse to let the devil tear your mind away. If God says you're going to die on the Passover and not after the Passover, then you plan. You're going to die on the Passover. If God says you're going to die a very public death, then just not a secret death, then you plan on it. Everybody's going to see what's going to happen to you. Daniel prayed three times a day, and he lived such an exemplary life in captivity that kings sought his counsel. And there was a group of leaders, and the powers that be, if you will, they hated Daniel with a jealous passion. And they got the king to sign a law that none of the citizens could pray to any other god but their false idol. And they waited for Daniel to pray. Amen. And as soon as they caught him, they brought him before the king. And the king had no choice but to throw this godly advisor into a den of wild lions. But what did Daniel do? The Bible said when he knew that the writing had been given, when he knew that the king had sealed the document, he went to his house and threw open his windows like he did three times every day. And he went to praying like he always did. You don't stop, amen, pursuing the plan, because the devil has a plot. And so what did Daniel do when they threw him in the lion's den? What do you think he did? He'd been practicing for a while. When he got into lions and he realized, oh, hallelujah, I'm glad I know how to pray. And he started praying. Then the Bible says God shut the mouths of the lions. And he came out the next day in one piece without a scratch on him. And God took those men and he threw. And then the king got so mad at what happened and the way they tricked him that he took those men and threw them in the lion's den. And their wives and their children. And it had quite the different outcome. Our job is to stay the course.
Yes.
If they tell you to stop preaching in that name, if they beat you, if they imprison you, you keep preaching Jesus anyway. The psalmist said, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed, saying, let us burst. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost and the anointing to preach here today to somebody. Hallelujah. The devil is plotting against you. People are plotting against you and everything is telling you, throw in the towel. Shake it off. You need to get back up. Amen. Suck a little bit of water out of your sports bottle and get back in the ring. Put your mouth guard back in. Hallelujah. Put your fist up to protect yourself and get back in the fight. Hallelujah. And they got together, the psalmist said in Psalm 2, and they said against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision.
Amen.
Because their plots are nothing to His plan.
Amen.
How did Jesus face this betrayal, this torture, this eventual assassination with such calm and focus and determination? And even during his passion, he never misses a beat. And instead of unraveling, instead of falling apart in the scenes, he shared one tender moment after another with his disciples. How did he do that? He did it because he knew that the Father was supreme. He did it because he knew in advance how things were going to play out. When Paul was traveling through Asia Minor and going through all of the towns where they had started churches everywhere he went, people began to prophesy to him, when you go to Jerusalem, they are going to put you in chains and throw you in prison. It was so intense that even one of the great prophets of the early church, Agabus, came down and he began to do this whole metaphor and visual example, object lesson, if you will, and he chained himself up and he took Paul's girdle and wrapped his Titus hands up with it. And he said, by the man whose girdle this belongs, shall chains be put on him, and he shall be thrown in prison. Everybody said, even the devil scheming and plotting, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because they're going to throw you in jail. Paul said to them, why are you stirring me up? Why are you stressing me out? Not only am I ready to go to jail in chains, but I'm ready to die for my Savior Jesus. And he walked into Jerusalem and they threw him in jail. Because it was the plan of God. That's why he went. He knew in advance before he went there that it wasn't going to be easy. He knew in advance what his troubles and his trials were going to be. And because he knew that, he could be calm. Because he knew that God had told him that you have spoken, amen, here before these people, and you will speak before the greatest, most powerful ruler in the world, the truth of my name to Caesar himself. He knew that the Jews had a plot. The Bible says there was much said. 70 of them, that they took an oath together and they fasted and they said, we're not going to eat one drop of food until we have assassinated the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's plotting against you. There may be 70 people that are fasting and looking for a way to kill you. There may be kings and rulers trying to destroy you. But if God said, I've got a plan to send you to Caesar, then no 70 assassins are going to be able to lay a finger on you.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul, in the middle of Jerusalem, and he had his own place to live and hang out in, and the people, all of his family and friends and all the church members could come and go. And while he was in prison, he got busy and wrote half of the New Testament. How could he do that? Because he knew that God had a plan, and God's plan was greater than the devil's plots. How did Jesus endure the cross? He endured it because he knew that God had a plan, and God's plan was greater, amen, than the devil's plots and schemes. He knew that he was going to be helped. He knew how many people were going to be helped. And he knew what his death was going to do. He knew that he was going to resurrect. He knew that souls were going to be saved. The Bible says he even went into hell, into the grave, and preached to souls that had died.
Yep.
Yeah. Thousands of years before. Amen. God has a plan for his church. God has a plan for you. And he is not about to let the devil get the best of you. He's not about to let the powers that be get the best of you. Isaiah the prophet said to Israel, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, no matter what comes down the pike of your life, you stay on the whole of the course that the Holy Spirit tells you. You go left when he says left. You go right when he says right. And stay on that straight and narrow and listen to that still, small voice.
Amen. Yes.
That same prophet said this, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. Jesus died without ever being married, without ever having a child. But he would raise up hundreds of millions of children to God.
Amen.
Through his sacrifice. He shall prolong his days, even though he died at a relatively young age. But yet the Lord raised him up.
Mm-hmm.
He still lives to this day.
Amen.
The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. Do you know that you can suffer like Jesus did on Calvary? And when you know you're in the plan of God, and when you know you're right smack dab where God has you, despite the sufferings, there can be a satisfaction that fills your soul, knowing that this is the plan, and God's got it all under control, and in the end, he's going to be glorified. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And because he has poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the sinners and the transgressors. Let's stand together today, church, when we stick to the plan. Musicians, would you come? Worship team, when we stick to the plan, God gives great victory. Amen. Sins that are rooted deep in our culture are ripped out. And all the bad habits and other dumb things that we learned growing up get rooted out. Someone's got to break the chain. Someone's got to break the curse, Deborah. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did. He went to the cross and he broke the curse of sin. Oh, this trial and tribulation may be something that seems that it is unbearable. But if you will follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, limping along, crawling along if you have to, pushing and pressing and fighting every step of the way that you go. Amen. But Jesus will use your trial to break curses, to break chains, and to change things that were intractable before. Some things cannot be changed without the trial. Some things cannot be resolved without the cross. Some things cannot be fixed without the pain. Spiritual trial and tribulation. But when we follow God's plan despite the pain, and the suffering that comes along with it. And we will know what it is to walk as champions in the world and in the kingdom of God. It said in Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." The only powers that be that matter are the powers that emanate from the throne of God in heaven. The only powers that be that matter are the people, the men and the women that God has anointed and authorized on the earth to be His ambassadors. Church, we can get along. We can make the best of these bad situations and troubles and different things that are going on, the fears that are in the streets of our communities. We can make the best of these situations by staying focused on the only power that matters. As we bow our heads together, as we begin to sing and worship the Lord at this moment, I want to give you one more opportunity to open your heart to the power of God. For He does not want you to walk your path alone, but He wants to be right at your side, showing you the way, showing you the sights, imparting to you the wisdom and the knowledge, teaching you, training you, educating you as you grow in spiritual skill and maturity, so that you can become pure, disciple, powerful warrior in the kingdom of God, victorious, rising above, even as the world burns to ashes. You will stand when the dust clears, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, held high, and you will be victorious. As they begin to sing, as your heads are bowed, would you come and pray? If you feel you need to make an extra commitment, open up your heart right now. Say it and pray it again, like you did earlier. Lord, I open my heart right now. Strengthen me for the cross that I must bear. Lord, I open my heart right now. Strengthen me. Reveal to me and remind me of the plan so that I'm not distracted by the plots. Well, come on, church. I feel so much Holy Ghost here. It's time for the dynamite to go off in your heart like it's going off in mine.